Welcome to Marvel.
Yeah. Welcome into the show, Marvel Fantasy Football Podcast. Cliff here. Not feeling 100%. If I had to put a percentage, we're going 77. Solid 77. Good enough to put out some sort of content today. I realize that, you know, when you're sick, nothing's worse than getting a fever, right? When you get a fever, that's bundled up under two blankets, a hoodie, for about 45 minutes till that medicine kicks in, and then you're dripping in sweat. Nothing worse than a fever. Thank goodness I don't have a fever. Should put a poll up. What's worse, a fever, a sore throat? I guess throw in migraine. Does that count as not feeling well? Or do we just say, oh, I have a migraine? But luckily, I don't have a migraine or fever, just a scratchy throat, head cold type thing. I went to bed at 8 o'clock last night, missed the entire Monday Night Football game, didn't watch the Celtics, no sports, skipped basketball. I put on all my basketball gear. It was like 7 o'clock and realized I have zero energy. I'm going to bed. So I think this is what happens with old age. It's happening. But I do have to put out some sort of content this week. I realized and remembered next week, no podcast. I'm going to be on my 10-year anniversary trip with my lovely wife, Mrs. Fahrenheit. And I don't think Tuesday morning recording of a fantasy football podcast would be allowed in the hotel room. It's our first trip without our kids since my daughter Nina was born 8.5 years ago. First trip. So that doesn't count like a random like one night overnight wedding thing. This is a legit grown up trip to Fort Lauderdale. No plans. We're winging it. We're just going. And if I sit at the pool all day and listen to podcasts, read a book, so be it. That's what I'll do for a week. No podcast next week. So I'm going to try to get through this. I realized the one thing I was worried about as far as putting content out today, I just don't think I have the energy for matchup of the week. I actually really do put in extra energy for that, and I don't think I have that. So we'll see what happens for matchup of the week. I will pick a matchup of the week. I'm just not sure I can muster through with that same intensive care that we put every week with matchup of the week. So I won't go too long in this intro, but two players I really am excited about for our purposes in the fantasy community, CJ Stroud and Josh Dobbs. We have two legit fantasy quarterbacks and NFL quarterbacks. I don't know what the Vikings plan on doing with this kid. I know it's only a 2-week sample size, but Josh Dobbs, for fantasy football purposes, I was watching this game. The 1 p.m. slate of games was amazing this past week. Maybe because the Jets were not on. But Josh Dobbs looked every bit like Jalen Hurts out there. His rushing ability, not taking big hits, another rushing touchdown. I think that's 4 games in a row for him with a rushing touchdown. That's completely off the top of my head. I haven't statted that out yet. But he's elite for fantasy football right now, and that's without Justin Jefferson. He's absolutely sustaining fantasy value for TJ Hawkinson. Jordan Addison had an okay game. I think it could have been a little better, but it's very interesting what's happening in Minnesota with Josh Dobbs. Love to see it. Hate when there's a crappy backups in there. Right now, Josh Dobbs is not a crappy backup. CJ Stroud looks like the real deal. Not only for fantasy football, but for the Houston Texans, we talked about it a couple weeks ago. Just, you know, if you guys aren't watching the games, it's not just the stats. It is the presence in the pocket, knowing he can feel pressure, slinging the ball downfield, very capable in all facets of the quarterback position right now. And, oh, by the way, that's just fantasy I'm talking about. In the real NFL games, that's back-to-back weeks with game-winning drives for C.J. Stroud. He's cold-blooded. And he's getting it done. And that was without his number one receiver, Nico Collins. So it's just really cool watching those two quarterbacks kind of take form. And just a great, again, 1 p.m. slate for football this week. Lots to talk about real quick. We'll go over, I suppose I shouldn't spoil anything. At the end of the episode, stay tuned. We'll talk about some of the playoff standings. We'll look at the playoff bracket real quick. And nobody is mathematically eliminated from playoff contention, but there's obviously three names that we're going to look at that most likely are going to be out of the playoffs. And I want to just take a quick snapshot, again, at the end of the episode, a snapshot of the three divisions and how it's working out with that. Obviously, the X-Men division is a really good one, and I want to just, you know, take a look at it together and see if justice will be due as far as the playoff standings right now. But stay tuned, and without any further ado, we'll get to some sort of matchup of the week right now. Guys, I truly hate to do this. I really do. There was no... I just expected you guys to step up a little bit more. Matchup of the week will go to Mr. Sweet Chick Music taking on Ball Too Well, Taylor's version. I did think about putting myself and Roach in there because that matchup had huge implications. I would have actually surpassed Roach in the standings, but we'll talk about that matchup later. Matchup of the week, Sweet Chick Music taking on Ball Too Well, Taylor's version. We had some suspense last night. Again, I did not watch the game, but Josh Allen had his chance to win it for Taylor, and just couldn't get it done. 112-106, Joe Chick takes the win. Let's take a look at his squad. Oh, he also had Russell Wilson going. So it was a true battle between the quarterbacks, and you would have thought that Josh Allen could have got it done. But let's take a look at the squads here. A huge performance by Brian Robinson Jr. for Chick's team. 38 rushing yards. Not great. If you told me before the game started, Brian Robinson's getting you 38 rushing yards, that's the kiss of death. That would look like 3.8 points to me. Except he went off. He had a touchdown catch and 119 yards receiving on six catches. Brian Robinson. Don't forget, Antonio Gibson is there. He's supposed to be the pass catcher. You remember last year with J.D. McKissic as the pass catcher there. Is Brian Robinson back to being that, you know, weeks 1-4 stud running back where he's kind of doing it all? 24 fantasy points from Brian Robinson Jr. really helped out the fact that his dud, Travis Etienne, only got him 5 fantasy points. Tough matchup against San Francisco. But, you know, this is just like the Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua situations from the last couple weeks. I have to pick a spot here for Travis. I have to get him in my duds, eventually this year, and this is going to be the week. Travis Etienne has been unbelievable for fantasy football, averaging 17 fantasy points per game. He's the number 3 running back in fantasy football as it stands right now, even including this 5-point performance. So almost lost Chick the week, but better days ahead, obviously, for Travis Etienne. This is one bad week, and he's looked great all season. In consideration, how about George Kittle? He's just such an efficient tight end. You know, 3 catches, 116 yards, and a touchdown in that same matchup against the Jags. Excuse me. But yeah, nonetheless, Joe Chick takes the win. Looking at Taylor's team, 106 points this week. How about the start? I got to give props where props are due. Listen, you always start your studs, right? You're always going to start your Christian McCaffrey, your Josh Allen, guys like that. We have Noah Brown. What a start. I'd like to see the percentage. He's only rostered in 27% of fantasy football leagues. And Taylor had the wherewithal to actually just go ahead and throw him right in the lineup. 20 fantasy points, 7 catches for 172 yards. Just a great play by her. I know it didn't work out in the end getting you the win, but I, as I always say, process over results. That was a weak winning decision by you, putting him in your lineup. And, you know, Joe Chick didn't have Nico Collins this week, and you kind of inherited all the Nico Collins points. So it was a good 2-for-1 trade there, kind of putting it up against Joe Chick, your Noah Brown, and he didn't have Nico Collins. So just a great start there for you. As far as your dud goes, I could go a couple different directions here, but might be the beginning of the end. Actually, not even the beginning. It might just be the end for Alexander Mattison. I don't know what's going to happen in this Vikings backfield. It hasn't been good all year for Mattison. He's, you know, had a couple games here and there. If you remember, he's been the victim when Kirk Cousins was the quarterback. He's been the victim of a ridiculous passing to rushing touchdown percentage by the Vikings, where every single touchdown the Vikings scored for the first like 7 weeks, 8 weeks, it was all passing touchdowns. So naturally, it was supposed to regress to, you know, hey, we got to get some rushing touchdowns in there. Well, Ty Chandler gets the rushing touchdown. And I believe they only have one or two rushing touchdowns on the year. So if Alexander Mattison was going to get it done, he's going to have to get it done between the 20s, receptions, stuff like that. Well, he got banged up. He's going to be hurt. And, you know, we'll see if he comes back and is the lead back. But right now, Ty Chandler looks like he has a little bit more juice. And this is just the up and down struggle of Alexander Mattison all year. I've been with Taylor. We, you know, for those of you that have Alexander Mattison in other leagues, you kind of feel her pain. It's like every week, you know, you hate to look at projections, right? ESPN, every week, ESPN projections, 12 points, 11 points, 13 points, good matchup, 14 points. Like, you kind of, he's a starting running back. So we're throwing him in our lineup every single week and praying. And more oftentimes than not, it's not coming to fruition. He's only averaging 9 fantasy points per game on the year. So not great, the RB27. I guess there was a reason why he was the backup to Dalvin Cook years ago. So nonetheless, again, Taylor takes the loss. She's going to move to 4-6 on the year, and a huge win for Joe Chick, Sweet Chick Music. He's also going to be 4-6 on the year, but he was worried about getting into that Build-A-Bear Bowl that we'll get to at the end of the podcast. So nice matchup, you two, for the, you know, a little different matchup of the week, softer, smoother matchup of the week. Not a lot of energy. Sorry about that. I'll get back in a couple weeks. All right, our next matchup is going to be the aforementioned Mr. Fahrenheit taking on the Zen Crusaders. And of course, Chris Roach decides to go nuclear on your boy. 151 to 133. Chris takes the win. Again, if he had lost this match, he was going to be, you know, definitely in the Build-A-Bear Bowl. Still has a chance at that, but this is going to be a much better week here for Chris and his team. Studs all over the place. Nobody really crushed his team. We're going Keenan Allen for his official stud, though. 35 fantasy points, 11 for 175, and 2 touchdowns. Keenan Allen, now the wide receiver 3 in fantasy football on the season. Remember a couple years ago when people just assumed Keenan Allen was injury prone? How silly was that? After getting just a couple random injuries here and there, people, oh, I'm not touching Keenan Allen, he's injury prone. Really? Really? That's like not taking Mike Evans, you know, every single year to score 1,000 receiving yards, and this is the year you're not going to take him. There's value to be had in fantasy drafts if you can see through some of the BS, and Keenan Allen is just an absolute stud. 35 fantasy points. If I did have a pick a dud here, it would be Saquon Barkley, and it's to no fault of his own. It's 6 fantasy points, 66 rushing yards on the ground, no catches. That's not good. Saquon relies heavily on receptions and just volume. The Giants are a dumpster fire, and it looks like they're going to be competing with the Patriots for that, you know, a top three pick. And if they're smart, they will continue to start DeVito at quarterback because it is a one-way ticket to getting the number one overall pick. And if they were smart, they'll just keep it that way. Kyler Murray came back for the Cardinals, so they're going to win some games. You expect Bill Belichick to win a couple more here and there just based on his coaching ability and defense and schemes. You know, whether Mac Jones is a quarterback or Zappe, the Patriots will win a couple more games here to end the year. But yeah, Saquon Barkley would be your dud in a 151-point effort. Moving on to my team. Unbelievable week for my guys. I was very confident going into the week. I loved my matchups, loved my starting roster. I don't think I made any mistakes on my starting roster. It's just one of those things. It just didn't work out for me. Third in scoring this week, and I take the loss. As far as my stud goes, Jahmyr Gibbs, and that's with David Montgomery sharing the backfield with him. 77 yards on the ground, 2 touchdowns. Also had 3 receptions for 35 yards. Good for 24 fantasy points. Unbelievably, just like that, Jahmyr Gibbs, the number 15 running back on the season, averaging 15.3 fantasy points per game. Remember when he was kind of struggling in the beginning, and I definitely didn't want to trade him. The upside of Jahmyr Gibbs was always there, and it looked like that injury to Montgomery a couple weeks ago really kind of just opened the floodgates for Jahmyr Gibbs to go off here. So very happy about that. As far as my dud goes, it's nonstop. Tony Pollard, 55 yards on the ground, the only Cowboy to not score a touchdown. It was such a joke. He's averaging 10 fantasy points per game on the year. Touchdowns is everything as a running back. He's not getting receptions, and he's a guy that I can't bench because he plays the Carolina Panthers next year. It's a great matchup, and at any given point, Tony Pollard could have multiple rushing touchdowns, and it just hasn't happened yet, and it will. So I have to keep starting him, especially in a league where we play 2 flexes. Just a sucky situation. Nothing you can do. He's a good player. It's almost like they should have Rico Dowdle play the Zeke Elliott role from last year and have Pollard come and spell him, because that's where he was elite last year as the spell running back. So nonetheless, I take the loss here. I am 2-8 on the season. I am well ahead in points against Alicia and Jason very comfortably. I have the most points scored against me in the league by far. A lot of bad luck happening to me here, and it is what it is. Again, sold my soul for that championship last year against the juggernaut that was Alicia's team. So I guess I was due for this, but I have only a 1% chance to make the playoffs, aka I don't control my own destiny. I would need to win out plus get a lot of help. So for my purposes, I do feel like I am eliminated from playoff contention, while Chris Roach sits at 4-6. I'm going to take a look real quick at his playoff percentage, and it's looking like he's at 15%. So he's definitely got a sliver of a chance to make the playoffs. All right, our next matchup is going to feature Greg's team taking on the Pillar of Fire, Tom's team. And Greg, my goodness, with no regard for human life, 176-90. Greg takes the win. Studs everywhere. None better than the combination of Dak Prescott and CD Lamb. Over 71 fantasy points combined for these two. Dak Prescott, 404 yards passing, 5 total touchdowns, 37 fantasy points off the waiver wire. CeeDee Lamb, 11 receptions, 151 yards, 2 total touchdowns, including a rushing touchdown. as Tony Pollard managers just vomit all over themselves hearing that stat. A rushing touchdown for CeeDee Lamb before Pollard could get one. Studs all over the place, guys in contention. TJ Hockenson, 11 receptions at the tight end position, and not just rinky-dink, dink and dunks. 134 yards and a touchdown. We talked about Josh Dobbs just coming in and saving the day for the Minnesota Vikings, who are absolutely not only in it for the playoff picture, they're still in it for the division. It's, you know, the Lions are still ahead of them, but I think they play again coming up soon here, and man, what a matchup that's going to be, Lions versus Vikings, if Josh Dobbs can keep this up and Justin Jefferson can make his return. As far as his dud goes, I mean, 176 points. It's really hard to pick a dud, but I would go with a disappointing performance by Chris Godwin against the Tennessee Titans, who were always deemed a pass funnel type defense. You know, stop the run. They'd rather lose games through the air against mediocre quarterbacks. And Chris Godwin, only 4 catches on 54 yards, receiving 7 fantasy points. Again, didn't crush you. Wasn't really needed this week with your 176, but it was the Mike Evans show this past week. We'll get to him a little bit later on Maddie's team. Taking a look at Pillar Fire, 90 fantasy points, just not enough. Your stud is going to be, like we talked about with Taylor's team, just an epic start here. Josh Dobbs throwing him in his lineup against New Orleans, who people fear New Orleans as far as a matchup goes. You know, whether it's your running back, New Orleans is usually pretty good at wide receiver. New Orleans usually pretty good at stopping receivers and quarterbacks. And, you know, a late swap, dropping Trevor Lawrence and throwing in Josh Dobbs at your quarterback, gets 25 fantasy points. And unbelievably, Josh Dobbs on 2 separate teams where he, listen, he joined the Cardinals a week or two before week one. He didn't get a full training camp in, okay? Goes out there, puts together 7 or 8 weeks with the Cardinals, gets traded to the Vikings, back-to-back wins with the Vikings with almost no practice. Josh Dobbs, for fantasy purposes, is the quarterback 8 on the season, averaging 17.5 fantasy points per game, and I expect that average to go up with Justin Jefferson most likely coming back soon. So he will have, if he so chooses, the stack of Josh Dobbs and Justin Jefferson. I do see he has Jalen Hurts, though, so most likely he's going to have Josh Dobbs as his backup quarterback. But if anything were to happen to Hurts, I told you, you know, obviously Josh Dobbs is not as good as a quarterback in real NFL football as Jalen Hurts. But for fantasy football purposes, if you watch that game, he looked like Jalen Hurts for fantasy football this past week. 268 yards, 2 total touchdowns, 44 rushing yards on the ground. I want to see, I said that he scored rushing touchdowns in 4 straight games, and I was right. I just looking now live on the air, and the last 4 weeks rushing touchdowns. So there's your Jalen Hurts type comp. He's looking really good. The last 3 games for fantasy football, 22 fantasy points, 24 fantasy points, 25 fantasy points. So, and one of those games included a game against the Baltimore Ravens defense, and he scored 22 there. So Josh Dobbs may be a trade asset for Tom as the trade deadline approaches. But nonetheless, just wasn't enough to get Pillar Fire over Greg's juggernaut of a team. Greg moves to 6-4 on the season. This was a divisional matchup. We're going to go over that division at the end of the podcast, and again, check out the 3 divisions versus 1 division. Is anybody getting slighted? I don't think so. Pillar Fire moves to 5-5 on the season. All right, next up is gonna be Dixie Normus Gage taking on the Teddy Bears. Matty Rivers, huge implications in this matchup. And Gage takes the win, 87-80. Super low scoring matchup. I would have given my pinky toe to be featured against one of these players this week. 87-80 here. Let's take a look at Gage's team. His stud is going to be Brock Purdy. After three losses in a row for the 49ers, Brock Purdy comes back and annihilates the Jacksonville Jaguars. 296 yards passing, three passing touchdowns, good for 23 fantasy points. You know, gets Deebo Samuel back and just looks like the Brock Purdy from last year and beginning of the year here. So all of a sudden, the Niners, it took them one game to look like Super Bowl contenders once again after the three losses in a row. You know, I failed to mention when we did Taylor's matchup, Christian McCaffrey, you know, he is now tied for the most games in a row with a touchdown. The Niners, Kyle Shanahan did try to get him that last touchdown at the very end of the game when the game was well in hand. They put Christian McCaffrey back out there, you know, three or four straight plays to McCaffrey to try to get that touchdown. I don't know how I feel about that. The game was well in hand for the Niners. If Christian McCaffrey goes down to injury for that record, I don't know how I feel about that. But it would have really helped Taylor's purposes, of course, but couldn't get in the end zone. So it stands at, I believe, 17 or 18 games straight for Christian McCaffrey with a touchdown. He will be tied. He will not have the record, the standalone record. As far as your dud goes, Gage, a couple different options here, but we're going to go Stephon Diggs last night, Buffalo Bills. He's already saddened enough about the performance of his Bills, but just to lay it on a little thicker here, Stephon Diggs, three catches, 34 yards. Still gets you the win for the week, but that's not the Stephon Diggs we know and love. Josh Allen had, you know, from what I heard, had a terrible game last night. So better days ahead for Stephon Diggs with that four fantasy points. Diggs is the number four wide receiver on the season, sitting at 16.5 fantasy points per game. So very clear and obvious outlier here with just a bad week overall. Moving on to the Teddy Bears. Teddy Bears, if you look at his bench, just riddled with injuries, bye weeks, but he had a chance. He had a chance. He had one guy on his bench score him 13 fantasy points. That was Keaton Mitchell, and he just couldn't find his way into the lineup. Decided to start Juju Smith-Schuster instead at the double flex position. It cost him the win here. I believe that's... three losses in a row for Maddie? It is three losses in a row here for Maddie. So yeah, the Keaton Mitchell start, I know it would have been a tough one, but anybody over Juju Smith-Schuster would have felt much better here. So taking a look at the rest of Maddie's team, just 80 points. You know, Mike Evans is going to be his stud here. Six catches, 143 yards, and a touchdown. Another, you know, epic game for Mike Evans, but it included a easy dropped touchdown. And I'm not talking like, oh, you know, it would have been a tough catch over a defender, and, you know, we shouldn't count that as a touchdown in our minds. But like, no. This one was literally, no one around him dropped it. When asked about the touchdown, I don't know if he was kidding, but Mike Evans said, I was actually thinking of which fan to give the touchdown football to, and he just dropped it. And I think it cost Matty a win. He would have got about 7-8 fantasy points from that catch, and in the end, it cost him the victory. So as far as his dud goes, a lot of different options here. Derrick Henry. We're going here. Derrick Henry, 24 rushing yards, only two fantasy points. He remains the running back 10 on the year, 13 fantasy points per game. But this was just a brutal performance by the Tennessee Titans, only putting up 6 points against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tampa Bay always has a good rushing defense, but my gosh, you would think Derrick Henry could get going here. And he just wasn't able to get it done. So Maddie moves to 7-3 on the year after starting 7-0. It's three straight losses, but the troops are coming back for him again. Multiple injuries and bye weeks, so he will be back. While Dixie Normus moves to 7-3 himself, he is now tied with Maddie. So excellent matchup here, boys. Next up is going to be In the Hunt, Elliot taking on the Chicken Tendies, and Josh takes the win, 129-91. Excellent week here for Josh, as this is just what he does, putting up points, and yeah, he's got Devon Achane coming back too. So Josh is going to be a mega contender moving forward as far as, you know, standings goes. I'm projecting him to be a top here. He might be getting that bye week, folks. So let's take a look at his squad. How about Justin Herbert? 28 fantasy points at the quarterback position, 323 and 4 touchdowns in a losing effort against Detroit. But this is what you want to see, is the Chargers defense giving up points so that Justin Herbert has to go out and just sling it all day long. He is the quarterback 3 on the season, 20.5 fantasy points per game, but puts up 28 here. As far as your dud goes, nobody really killed you. I'm actually going to go no dud for you, because, you know, while Jordan Addison was one of your lower scoring performances here, he was 4 for 69, 9 fantasy points. That's not a bad performance there with a backup quarterback and Josh Dobbs. So I'm going no dud. It's one of the only times this season I've gone no dud. Even Greg's team, who had 176 point, you know, the Chris Godwin dud, that was well deserved there. But I'm going no dud for Josh. So congratulations. Moving on to Elliot's team, 91 fantasy points, not getting it done as far as his stud goes. How about Rashad White? We're going back to Rashad White, 51 yards on the ground, but continues to be elite in the passing game. Only 2 catches, but for 47 yards and a touchdown. So 16.8 fantasy points from Rashad White. He is the running back 11, 12.8 fantasy points. That's right. He's just behind Derrick Henry by about 1 yard per game. Imagine that, Rashad White and Derrick Henry back-to-back in the rankings. So he's going to be your stud. As far as your dud goes, we're going to go Mark Andrews, 2 catches, 44 yards. The running game of the Baltimore Ravens continues to hinder the passing game, including Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson had himself a down week. We'll get to Alicia's team next up here. But yeah, it didn't help that for Mark Andrews. Uninvolved. Gus Edwards gets a touchdown. Keaton Mitchell gets a touchdown. Everything's coming on the ground. So this is like more like the anti Minnesota Vikings, where a lot of the touchdowns coming on the ground here for the Ravens. You expect that to kind of switch coming up here. You know, they will regress. They're going to have to start throwing some touchdowns, and they lost the game. So those rushing touchdowns just didn't help this week against the Cleveland Browns. So we'll look forward to better days ahead for Mark Andrews. But nonetheless, Elliot, 8-2 on the season. That is not a bad record after a loss. 8-2, my goodness. And the Chicken Tendies moves to 9-1. I know I had him 3rd on the power rankings. I might be moving him up, folks, because looking at his roster, he's waiting for Devon Achane to be activated here, and he gets to put him with his elite running backs, Josh Jacobs, Austin Eckler. So I think there's a chance that I would have Josh's team, you know, ahead of Maddie's team right now, until Maddie's team can get acclimated and, you know, healthy. So I think I'd have it Elliot 1 and Josh 2. And I know that probably sounds terrible for Josh. He's probably mad in his car listening to this, but because he just beat Elliot. We'll see. We'll see. I still do like the core of Elliot's team a little better, but Josh is 100% in the running to win this championship this year. All right, and last but not least, this is Unleash the Beast, Alicia taking on Jason's team, Yeeters Skeeters. And Jason wins 102-54. Yikes! Let's take a look at Jason's team here. How about David Montgomery? Welcome back after injury. 17.6 fantasy points, 116 yards, and a touchdown. David Montgomery is the running back 22 on the season. but that includes his missed games. So he is averaging 16.6 fantasy points per game. On a points per game basis, that would put him well ahead of Derrick Henry and Rashad White, which we talked about in the last matchup. So, you know, that's where you have to look at the games where he's actually playing. The average, you know, should be taken into account more than his, you know, his position ranking. He's definitely not the 22nd best running back in the league. He's much higher for fantasy purposes. As far as your dud goes, Aaron Jones, yikes. 35 rushing yards, only 7 fantasy points. Not great. You know, Aaron Jones remains a mystery. 10 fantasy points per game this season. Man, Josh knew what he was doing when he unloaded Aaron Jones to Jason's team. Moving over to Alicia's team. Whew. Goodness gracious. 54 points. Really hard to have a stud here. We will go Jonathan Taylor. It look, her matchup seemed to be going okay in that 9:30 game in Germany. But Taylor, Jonathan Taylor, 69 rushing yards and a rushing touchdown. As far as her dud goes, all over the place. Too many to name. If you want to take a look at her team, you can. But when you only score 54 fantasy points, you're going to have multiple duds, and she's got about 6 or 7 of them here. So Alicia moves to 2-8 on the season, while Jason also moves to 2-8 on the season. This was a huge matchup in the Build-A-Bear Bowl, and stay tuned for the next segment. We will talk who's in, who's out. We'll talk about the divisions and the Build-A-Bear Bowl. Hold tight. All right, welcome into the playoff picture segment of the podcast. As I'm drinking my coffee and talking fantasy football, I'm feeling a little better. I mean, I better start feeling better because my work day is starting now. But happy to get this podcast out to you guys. But let's take a look at the playoff picture. As of right now, if playoffs started today, Josh is the number one seed getting the bye week. Elliot, the number 2 seed, getting the bye week. Matty Rivers is the 3 seed. Because of points, he would be the 3 seed. Gage would be the 4 seed, 7-3. At the 5th spot, Greg's team, 6-4 after that huge win. And in the last spot of the playoffs would be Tom's team, Pillar of Fire, sitting at 5-5. The first 2 teams out would be Joe Chick and Taylor, sitting at 4-6, respectively. So let's take a look real quick at the divisions. I know we've been talking about moving to 1 division, and 3 divisions is fluky and all that stuff. Well, let's take a look. The X-Men division, as Tom had said in the last couple of weeks, how dominant that division is. 100% accurate there. All 4 of those teams are in the playoffs right now. If you look, Tom is 5-5, having a decent season, has Justin Jefferson coming back, has scored 1,079 fantasy points. That is ahead of Joe Chick's 1,068 fantasy points, who is on the outside looking in. Also, Tom has more points than Ball Too Well, Taylor's team, 1,036 fantasy points. So not only does it work record-wise, Tom being in the playoff picture right now, he also has more points than the 2 people that are out of the playoffs right now. So to me, it's working out. I would like to still, we could still move to 1 division if you guys like, but you tell me who's getting snubbed right now if the playoffs started. I don't see anybody getting snubbed. So we have to let it play out. As of right now, the Guardians division, if you look at all 4 of them, they're on a 8-game win streak. Chicken Tendies 5, Sweet Chick Music 1, Zen Crusaders 1, and Jason's team 1. So that division's kind of up and coming. While the Avengers division, Elliot, Taylor, myself, and Alicia, we are on a 9-game losing streak, our division. And 5 of those losses have come 5 straight for Taylor, 2 straight for me. So, again, we're going to look at the playoff picture here. And as of right now, It looks like Alicia, Jason, and myself are out of the playoffs, officially in the Build-A-Bear Bowl, as predicted. And that X-Men, the entire X-Men division, just like the AFC North in real football, they're all in the playoffs. So you tell me, is anybody getting snubbed right now? I don't think so. We'll see how it plays out. Thanks for listening to the show. This was your boys' flu game. I actually do feel a little better. So I appreciate you guys for listening. A little shorter of an episode this week. But I'll see you guys in 2 weeks after my 10-year anniversary trip. Enjoy next week's football, and we'll see you on the other side. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.